We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
Today is Tuesday, September 30th, 2014, and you are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. And with me, as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And joining us for the first time in Warriors Huddle history, serial entrepreneur, show business mogul, and huge Warrior fan, Mike McGinnis. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right, man. We're fired up to have you on. How the hell did we convince you to show up on this Podunk podcast?
The funny thing is there's a Warriors request I've yet to turn down. So that's the one. Hopefully I don't get solicited with too much after this comes out, but it's the one thing in general that I can't not talk about, so especially in the sort of doldrums of the off season when there's nothing really to kind of gossip or hope for, and Kevin loves the rap and everything else is kind of done. We're just sort of in a waiting period, so I will ramble ad infinitum if you'll have me.
Well, I tell you what, if I wait about 10 to 15 minutes and ask you that question again, would you mind saying it's because I'm a huge fan of the podcast? I mean, something like that. You don't have to be genuine, but it'd be good for us.
It's because I'm a huge fan of the podcast.
Perfect.
I would never discuss Warriors with anyone except for the huddle.
Exactly right. I knew I liked you, Mike. We got multiple reasons to be fired up, probably the most of which is that training camp finally started today. So in some respect, man, the season is underway. You fired up for this year or what?
The Nedovich injury really has me concerned, but other than that, I am ready to rock.
Yeah, did you see Festus actually practice today, which is the first time that he's done a full practice in 15 months?
I'll believe it when I see it, man. That guy's been out forever.
I hope he was sitting in a wheelchair juggling eggs or working on something to give him some sort of finesse with those hands, because that guy, he really did a lot. I hope he got a little finesse in his downtime.
I forgot all about his stoned hands. It's literally been that long since he's been on the court. And before we get too far away from it, has there ever been a worse nickname than the European Derrick Rose for Nedovic? I mean, I remember being fired up based on that nickname alone. What the hell is Derrick Rosey about this guy?
Nothing. I mean, well, the fact that he's injured doesn't play. but literally nothing. That nickname, and then you watch, it's easy to make someone look good that has some skills on a hype YouTube video with, if they put a good enough hip-hop song on it.
Yeah, sure.
And we all saw Nedovic kind of going off and driving, and then that plus the nickname made us all be like, okay, this could happen, and then it's just been, wow.
That's exactly right. He also had that kind of bonus that we see with the European players where the highlights feature guys who are probably playing in, like, junior high out here. You know, they're like 5'2", canned white dudes who he's dunking on. But I tell you what, let's not talk about Nedovic. Let's move to things that are more important. How long have you been a Warrior fan, man?
As long as I can remember, I grew up in Oakland. I was always a basketball fan. I was actually the ball boy for Cal in the Lamon Murray, Randy Duck, Jason Kidd, all the way up to Sharif Abdur-Rahim.
Was with Lou Campanelli or with Todd Bozeman? Or did you do both?
Both. I can't remember if I was on Bozeman. I started on Bozeman's first year or Campanelli. I think it was Campanelli's last into Bozeman's first two. But then I hit a growth spurt when I was like 14 and was taller than most of the team. And so I looked like an awkward freshman that was just like sweeping up sweat. So I finally couldn't tell.
Did Bozeman get you into his pyramid scheme?
No. still trying.
Who's looking back over, I mean, it sounds like you've been a Warrior fan for as long as us, man, well over 25 years. Favorite Warrior team ever? What, Run TMC, the We Believe years? What do you think?
You never have to go past TMC. I mean, We Believe, I think, was a byproduct of complete despair, in that we hadn't had a meal in 10 years and someone offered us, you know, a good sandwich, and we freaked out like it was the best thing we'd ever had. But if you go and compare it side by side to Run TMC, other than the fact that they came from nothing and kind of like cohesively got together for one epic run, TMC was it. And that's the Nelly Ball run and gun. You know, he was so far ahead of his time. That style of basketball is so much more entertaining than what anyone was doing at the time, that I think it was an actually revolutionary team. So I'm going to go with TMC all day.
Well, I mean, what about this current team, though? I mean, back-to-back playoffs, that's doing nothing for you, huh?
No, not at all. I'm just saying the style. You have to also understand, too, if Nelly in his prime had Steph now, it would be the most insane thing of all time. I was a little I'm not going to be spoiled. We sucked so badly for so long that I'm obviously stoked to even be a playoff team. But once you really dive into it, and I'm the nerd that's reading the blogs every day and reading the wire, the GM, real GM wire tap, excuse me, real GM wire tap, and just really paying attention, it's hard to not, when you finally have a good team, when you see the interference of certain people in the front office or the ownership of the coach kind of messing with things that could be even better,
you
get a little spoiled and it throws you off. But yeah, this team, Steph is my all-time favorite Warrior.
I'll back you for a sec, Mike, because I mean, you know, again, it sounds like we're coming from the same generation. My favorite team is, in fact, Run TMC. I don't know if it's better than this current team, but there's a sense of nostalgia that hits. You know, when I think back on those what seemed to be golden years, I mean, you know, geez, they never got out of the second round, but it's a different time of our life, and there's a reason why we look back on that as the favorite one. So I'm absolutely with you. Let's go to the other side of the ball. Least favorite Warrior of all time. Is there somebody out there who drove you crazy?
There's multiple answers to this. You hate certain people based on how they were acquired. So, like, you think of the Mitch Richmond trade, and what do we get? Billy Owens. You know, the Joe Smith first pick really hurt. And there's the obvious, you know, the foils, just the obvious kind of scapegoats. Late-stage Biedrins is definitely up there. Just because he seemed to throw in the towel, and it wasn't – I don't know. I'm one of those people that really thinks, like, if I met like a 16-year-old girl that was out of shape on a bus and said, your job is to learn how to make this ball go into that hoop exclusively from this one line that's 15 feet away, and that's all you need to work on, I swear to you I could get her above 65%.
And I'll pay you millions of dollars while you're at it.
100%. I'll give you 11 mil a year. Do your thing on the weekends. All good. Just learn how to shoot from this one space.
That's a real deal. I can tell you right now, I was a little worried when we started that analogy. We met a 16-year-old girl on the bus. Yeah. I wasn't sure where we were going, but
and Biedrins was involved too.
You pulled it out. You pulled it out, Mike. So no, that was nicely played, man.
Well, saying I pulled it out is probably not the safest way to get me.
I'm just trying to continue the theme that you've set up for us, buddy. You said you're from Oakland, but I know you're not there anymore. Yeah, you're down in L.A.?
I am. I'm in Los Angeles, but my parents are still in Oakland where I grew up. Whole family's up there, so I go up often.
Well, the only reason I ask, you may have heard your boy Simon Rex, who was nice enough to come on our podcast a couple episodes back, and he proclaimed, without worrying about it, that he was, in fact, the best Warrior fan, or at least the biggest Warrior fan in L.A. What do you think, man? Do you agree?
Well, I heard the podcast, and it was strong. Hats off to you and Simon.
Thank you.
I also noticed on the podcast that you guys actually censor when people use swear words, correct?
Yep.
Okay, then I can answer this question honestly. Simon Rex is a f-ing hack that could not handle my power as a Warriors fan. We were good friends until I heard that podcast, but now I'm honestly considering clipping that stupid of an Other than the podcast, though, that's my dude. I love him. He nailed it. But here's the thing about Simon, who, if you follow his rapping career, claims Oakland. And he did very safely and honestly point out Alameda's proximity to the Coliseum, which I thought was a good loophole.
Yeah, I thought he exaggerated that a little bit, but yeah.
But the Warriors are not from Alameda. The Warriors are from Oakland. I'm from Oakland. I got a scholarship at Camp Hardaway because I was so into being there. They let me come back free for another week. So I adore Simon. That's my dude. But I'm going to have to put him as the second biggest Warriors fan in Los Angeles.
Yeah, when you didn't even drop your Trump card, they also show a picture of you before every Warrior broadcast. Yeah, they got that shot of you screaming into the camera with the hat on. How the hell did you get in the opening? Where did that come from?
Yeah, the way that happens is during, I go up, you know, if they're ever in the playoffs, it's such a rarity, I make sure and get to a couple playoff games per series.
Yeah.
And so when they were playing Denver at home, I talked Joel, who's a bit of a baller, into going. And as it turns out, Joel had a deal going on, a business thing that somewhat involved Lakers company. So we got the Warriors seats. And we were right behind Reggie Miller.
Damn.
During the final, I think, sixth game when we took out the Nuggets. And so I was just going batshit crazy, losing my mind, having fun with it. And all these people start hitting me up. like, nice hat. Oh my God, look at you. And I start seeing all these things.
Well, it's like a straw hat, right? Or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my signature. That's my, it's LA, so I can get away with a Panama hat throughout the year. And so I have a Warriors uniform, and I'm convinced it helps them win. So when I was 9, my parents were at like a Catholic auction or something. And they go and they see this thing they thought I'd like. And it was Sharunas Marshalonis' warm-up jersey in the 1991-92 season. You know, I'm a kid, and they give me this giant thing that could never fit. And I was like, oh, awesome. And I, you know, hung it up in my closet, but it didn't get much play. And then randomly, I was at a Warriors game when I was like 20, and I'm like, oh, I think I'm the same size as Sharunas Marshalonis. I need to find that thing. So I race to my parents' house and start digging and find it. And it's become my Warriors uniform. Yeah, so I'm in my uniform, which is my Panama hat, that jacket, and I end up on TNT and on CSN. And so it's everywhere, and it won't, the thing won't go away. And the funny thing is, because I'm 6'7 with orange hair, giant red beard, and a white hat and a Marshalonis jersey, you can literally, like, because I have sort of a number of Warriors fans that keep an eye on me on Twitter. Whenever I'm at a game, some random fan will like tweet a pause screenshot of the game and be like, "Where's Waldo?" and show me where I'm at in it. And so that's with any seat. And then it becomes funnier when, you know, obviously I'm able to finagle my own good seats. And I'm not that dude. I'm not the like, yo, let's sit on the wood guy. But you know, if it's Warriors related and I have a contact that I can really work, I'm gonna handle that, and I'm gonna get as close as I can.
Yeah, well, I'm impressed every time we see it. I tell you what, let's focus our attention on this year, and what I want to do, and I gave you a heads up off the air, is do a He Said What segment. Real similar to what we did with your boy, Simon, who is apparently the second biggest fan in Los Angeles. I want to play you some quotes from various Warriors and then ask your opinion both on what they've said and whether or not they're right. The first one I want to play for you, man, is a quote that Steve Kerr gave us via KNBR 680, and he's talking about how he envisions the Warriors' offensive sets this year. Here's Steve Kerr.
Yeah, I've worked with a who's who of coaches, Popovich, Phil, I mean, Lenny Wilkins, you name those guys. Obviously, Lute Olson, you and Tom playing for Lute Olson at Arizona. Yeah. Would you say, I mean, your offensive system this year, is it going to be like part Popovich's motion and part Phil Jackson's triangle? I mean, how do you, what kind of offensive system do you think you'll be running?
I think that's fair to say, though. There will be influence from all the coaches that I've played for. The one thing I can tell you is that, you know, I believe unequivocally as a basketball coach, and I believed it as a player, that the ball has to move. It's got to move side to side, and you can't get stagnant. It's easy to get stagnant in this league because there's great players, and great players tend to dominate the ball. But when the ball stops, the game stops, and I don't think you can win at the highest level by isolating and playing too much one-on-one. So the biggest thing you'll see is the ball moving quite a bit before we get into our attack.
All right, there's Steve Kerr. Let me give you a quick admission, one I'm a little embarrassed by, but I'm going to throw it out there anyways. Every single time I hear Steve Kerr talk about where this offense could go, I feel like I'm going to get an erection. I am so fired up for this year, Mike. It's embarrassing, but it is true. Perhaps less revealing, what do you think? I mean, let me start with a softball. Do you like the Steve Kerr hire?
Well, I don't know yet. The jury's still out. I mean, I like that they got someone. You know, the fact that anyone chose us over the Knicks and Phil Jackson just makes me happy on a look how far we've come level.
Sure.
I don't know. I was Stan Van Gundy all the way. And it sort of showed to me that the power someone as good as Van Gundy would require is something that the Warriors ownership will never, this current ownership will never relinquish.
Right.
And I know they do a lot right. And so, listen, they took us from starving to fed. So I'm by no means complaining.
Sure.
So to answer your question in a roundabout way, I don't know yet because I hear mixed things, not to undermine your boner, but I hear triangle and I freak out. I hear ball movement, ball movement, ball movement, and I'm stoked.
When you say freak out, what do you mean? Like you're not pro triangle, but you are pro ball movement?
Well, I hear things referenced like the triangle and the Spurs.
Yeah.
The Spurs are not running the triangle.
Yeah.
So I don't know what a hybrid, you know, tri-spur looks like. I'm curious. If it works, great. But if there's anything that prevents this team from running, when you have Steph Curry, who is the absolute best running, shooting, pick and roll point guard in the history of the team, and arguably in the, you know, in the current makeup of the league,
sure,
anything that might slow him down scares me.
I mean, you got to think Kerr knows that because he was in Phoenix during the D'Antoni, Steve Nash, 7 seconds or less offense. So I imagine he, you know, that's the only other time we've seen him in sort of an NBA management role. And there was, you know, an instance where he was running gunning.
No, I mean, that's absolutely right here.
D'Antoni was running gunning. And right. If you look into some of the history of that, though, some of the moves that Kerr made, and I didn't do enough research to have them specifically in front of me, but if I recall from those days, there were some trades and there was some, you know, Shaq and a couple other things.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Shaq.
That were the anti-D'Antoni, and D'Antoni was also sort of handcuffed. So, you know, I'm an optimist. I want it to be good, but I'm also a Warrior fan, which means I expect everything to go wrong at all times.
Let me test both sides of that personality, and let me change the question. Last year, they averaged 104.3 points per game, which incidentally, I was surprised by. That's a lot more than I felt. That was good for 10th best in the league. This year, if that's our over-under, 104.3 points per game under this new offense, Kerr, what do you think? We scoring more or less?
We better score more, is what I'll say. Yeah. I'm going with more, and I'm because here's what's going to happen. If he tries to go, you know, like you hear the things, put it in Bogut's hand, he's a great passing big, yes, but he's not much of an offensive threat. He has a high field goal percentage because it's hard to miss a dunk when you're 7 feet tall. So if that means we're slowing down, basically if it doesn't work, I think there will be such backlash that he'll just have to run it. So, you know, ball movement is key. I read a stat that I'm forgetting, so I don't want to quote it, but it was something to the fact that the Warriors had the least number of passes before a score of any NBA team last year.
Wow.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember that stat, but just from watching them, that sounds 100% right.
There's something I read, and this was a while ago, but it was something to the fact as far as, you know, ball movement is concerned, the Warriors are one of the worst in the league, which is just offensive if you look at how good the team is at passing. And I think a lot of that was Jackson.
Yeah.
And just sort of not having a team underneath him. And the one thing I will say about Kerr is I don't make Kerr for being the megalomaniac that Jackson was that won't put good people under him.
Yep.
The Alvin Gentry hire is what has me most excited. I'm more excited about Gentry than Kerr. But the humility that Kerr has to say, hey, listen, I've never coached before. Let's get me the most badass team I can underneath me, and let's win some ball games, is what's given me optimism.
I mean, that's totally fair. Even recently, he's been allowing his assistant coaches to talk to the media, something that Mark Jackson didn't do in his entire tenure here. And just to kind of pick up where you were saying, I think they're over. I think it's impossible to be under. I was very surprised that they're 104.3. My memory of the Jackson offense was, you know, ISO sets and frustration. So all they can do is go up. We'll see. I've been wrong multiple times before, but hopefully you and I are both right here.
Are you sure you're not wrong about them being 10th best in the league? Because I swear they were like 18th.
I mean, so two things worth admitting. One, I looked it up right before this podcast. Two, generally speaking, when I look things up right before the podcast, I'm wrong. But what we can rely on is if I was completely wrong on this, Scotty loves jumping up my ass and pointing it out, so that we haven't heard anything from him yet is a really good sign.
Yeah, okay. I trust Bram on this one, actually.
My God.
Is that not astonishing, though, looking at that team and looking? I mean, so we had the third best defense and the 10th best offense?
I could not believe it. I mean, to be fair, what that is points per game. You know, so I'm sure there's other offensive ways that they can, you know, plus minus, those kind of things, where we probably aren't top 10, but I was really shocked to hear it and see it as well. And I'll tell you what, let me usher us on to another subject before you both realize I was probably wrong. This one is on Harrison Barnes's development. I'm going to be a little technologically savvy, which means I'm probably going to screw this up, but let me play you two quotes. One is Harrison Barnes talking about how terrible he was last year. The second is Steve Kerr talking about how great Harrison Barnes has been in the offseason and what kind of a major role HB is going to play this year. Let's start with Harrison.
Now, when you watch the tape of yourself, what do you think?
Well, last year when I was watching?
This is
awful. Oh, my gosh.
Like, you just think, like when you're bombing, do you kind of know you're bombing?
Well, so it's like, okay, so it'd be like me and a coach, right? So we're sitting there. So, like, all summer we're sitting there watching tape, and it's like, you know, the play comes up, and it's – you remember it, right? So you're just playing in your head, like, well, I remember what I was thinking in that play. And then you see it, right? So, you, obviously, when you – hindsight is 20/20, so you're watching, like, oh, that was an awful shot. But in the game, you're like, okay, yeah, slash into the lane. Like, oh, yeah, throw up the floater over DeAndre. When in actuality, it was like – driving to the lane, jumps into the triple team, like throws it at DeAndre, completely off balance.
Well, I think he's on track. I mean, he works his butt off. He's extremely talented. We've got a staff here that is in the gym every day for all of our players, not just Harrison. But, you know, we're really working hard with him. And we feel like, you know, that's our job, is to help our players become the best they can be and achieve their dreams and their goals. And Harrison's incredibly driven. So we've got big plans for him this year. We think he can be a great player in this league. And he's off to a good start. I mean, he's only 2 years into his career, and he's made big strides already. So I think he's going to continue to get better.
All right, so I think, honestly, both of those quotes were probably right. There's no question Harrison underperformed. In fact, he probably did suck a whole lot of ass last year. And I also believe that the guy has showed up in the gym and that Kerr has big plans for him. What do you think, man? Do you still have confidence in this guy? Can he still be a key member of this team?
He can prove to me that he can't. I'm not going to be optimistic about him.
Yeah.
You know, I feel badly for him, and the reason being is the team, who has probably the best PR and marketing department in the league, really just kind of chose him as a brand and hyped him up to be this whole thing. And then he sort of matched it in that San Antonio series and left us at the end of the season with 6 months to think about all this potential. I think the confidence issue, when a beast like Iggy is acquired at your position and you go from starting 81 games your first season to being a sixth man, has to hurt you. You know, I think confidence is a whole lot of basketball. You look at like a Biedrins in the free throw line when everyone's sort of booing you or mad at you and you're the guy kind of f***ing up.
Yeah, and I mean, listen to that quote that he just gave. Harrison did not sound very confident or mentally stable. I mean, this guy, here he is thinking that he has some great shot. Meanwhile, he's actually looked at the tape later and he drove into a triple team. So
yeah.
I think his confidence is real shaky, which is actually why I would start him and bring Iggy off the bench. And those rumors are definitely flying. I don't know. Would you make that move?
I'm not opposed to trying it. You know, Iggy is 10 times the player the Barnes has ever been. Iggy's the team player guy that's going to get his 30-plus, whether it happens at the beginning or at the end. So as an experiment, that made Barnes better, which in turn made the team better, I'd be open to it. But I'm not open to playing someone because of the worth the team as a whole puts upon someone because of the hype they've created for them because of the draft pick number. Draymond Green, to me, like, that was one of the biggest beefs with Mark Jackson is, and I don't know where this direct, how much of that directive was him or above him or what, but Draymond's a beast, and Barnes sucked, and Barnes was getting twice as many minutes, and it made zero sense. So to me, the fact that there was no Draymond, like, basically, to answer your question, yeah, I'm open to trying it if it makes the team better, and the second it's proven that it's not, you get out of Dodge,
right?
Because the guy has completely, you know, he spent an entire season of letting us down. Now, he's a Game of Thrones nerd. I think he's a nice guy. I've met him. He seems cool. I don't want to shit on him. He's 22 years old.
No, go ahead and shit on him. That's fine.
But it's just, you know, as a fan, there's a certain level of, okay, how long are you going to hold on to, you know, a bad asset? If you buy a stock and it keeps tanking and tanking and tanking and then don't sell it just because, well, I paid 50% more than it's worth right now, but you have a good reason to think it's going to keep going down, you sell.
No, you cut your losses, of course. I mean, you know what you said that really speaks to me is the idea that he was given these expectations that he couldn't live up to. And the reason why that speaks to me is that that's been a consistent in his career. When he was in high school, we heard he was the next Kobe Bryant. And then he went to UNC and he didn't deliver. When he got drafted to us, I guess because of our remarkably successful PR relations from the Warriors, we all were led to believe that this is the guy we've been waiting for, this small forward athletic freak who's going to jump out of the gym and, you know, and bap on everybody. And that he just has not lived up to that. Bottom line, I think that we're on the same page. You try anything you possibly can to rehab this guy's confidence, but the second you get an indication that that's impossible, cut fucking bait. You know, stop maximizing your losses and focus on the people who can help, right?
Yep, and then here's one thing, too, and again, it's not his fault, but I was a vehement supporter of getting Andre Drummond. Who went, what, two picks after him?
Yep. It might have been the very next pick. He went, I think he went nine.
I think he went eight.
He went nine. You're right. It was two after him.
He was nine to Detroit. So let's jump in the time machine and run through this hypothetical. They draft Drummond. They keep Bogut until Drummond's strong enough to play, which is now. Don't have to extend Bogut. Don't have Barnes. Have Drummond on a rookie deal and have Bogut's $12 million to do whatever they want.
It's official. I definitely no longer have an erection. You've completely destroyed that entire scenario.
Yeah, I mean, of course you're
right.
That'll make you flaccid for a year if you think about that. Drummond is a f***ing beast.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, I'm not complaining. They got Draymond Green at, like, what, 40-something?
Right.
36, whatever it was.
No, but you're right.
I'm not mad.
We fast forward 3 years from now, yeah, and Drummond is an all-world center, and we're all going to remember exactly what you're saying. You're on the money.
Yeah, and it's just, and again, that's not Barnes' fault, but it's just you take the best player available when you're a rebuilding team.
Sure.
We really wanted a small forward, and the fact that we thought he was going at four and slipped down to us, and, you know, I was stoked at the time, but I still was like, I don't know, this Drummond looks like a beast.
Yep.
And Drummond is an absolute beast. I'm really big on wins produced as a metric. And if you look at Drummond's top 10 in the league as far as that's concerned, and obviously there's flaws to every advanced statistic, but, I mean, that guy, Barnes, if Barnes ever has a season in his career where he's doing per minute what Drummond did last year as a second-year player, I will be surprised.
And you and I both, man.
Between advanced stats and stock advice, we are learning a lot more than just Warriors from you.
Just analogies on the stocks.
It was nicely played.
I don't have it.
Scott's jumping in because, what you don't know is that he is an undercover Detroit fan. So everything we just said just made him so goddamn happy. He's over here smiling in a way that is so annoying to me.
I'm saying we should have Van Gundy and...
Oh, no, there's no question. This has basically become Scotty's show, and he hasn't even had to say anything. So let me usher us away from this topic before this guy gets excited.
I can bring up Josh shooting deep if you want to make him sad.
Let's save it. We'll bring that up later as kind of a fuck you to Scott. Let me give you another quote. This one on another concerning issue, but one that's not new but is still just as important. Here's Bob Myers assuring all Warrior fans everywhere that Andrew Bogut is, in fact, 100% healthy. Here's Bob.
And Bogut's health. You tell us where you are down on the baseline with Azealia and Bogut in particular.
Well, Bogut's good. I mean, I was just watching him play pickup about 10 minutes ago. But obviously he's had these random acute injuries that you just get frustrated by. I know he does. But he had a healthy year last year. I mean, I think the fear would have been if something would have occurred with his ankle, that is the one that he had injured the previous year that caused him to miss so much time. So he had this fracture of his rib. He had a shoulder contusion that put him out a little bit. But we're hoping, and I know he is, for a healthy season.
I'd love your opinion on this, Mike. Can we trust Bogut's health? I mean, how many times have we had this discussion? And let me ask it in a different way. Assuming the Warriors do, in fact, make the playoffs this year, do you think that Bogut will play in every playoff game?
I hope he will. And I hope that, you know, when you look at someone, whether it's because he has brittle bones or because he's a bulldog that just goes toe-to-toe with people, which is why we like him when we do,
yep,
the guy gets injured a lot. So what I would hope from this regime that we didn't see from Jackson is being strategic with minutes used during the regular season. I'd be shocked if the guy, counting playoffs, played more than 75 games next year. I'd be excited. You know, I don't think any of his injuries necessarily mean he's destined to be hurt. I just feel like, you know, let's look at the results of the last. I think he hasn't played more than, you know, last season was the most games he played in 5 years.
I mean, what you're saying is it doesn't matter if he's injury prone or has just had bad luck. The result has been exactly the same. Here, let me change the question just slightly. Last year, they signed him to a 3-year, $36 million contract, a contract that's going to start this year. If you could go back in time, you know, the whole revisionist history thing, do you still give that guy this contract?
Again, I'm totally torn. I'm a big. You guys ever read Feltbot?
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. You know, he's very opinionated, but I'm a huge fan of his blog.
Sure.
And obviously, he can go pretty deep on certain decisions he's made and really runs with them. But I'm super torn. You look at what Bogut does when he does play, and you look at a statistic like wins produced and go to wage of wins, and look at what he's bringing to the table, and it's huge. But then you look at what happens to the rest of the team when no one has to guard Bogut because they're just double teaming Lee because Bogut doesn't have an offensive game outside of 3 feet. No. So it's one of those things where his individual numbers are great, but you have to ask yourself, do you want a sort of rickety guy that's running around like an old man as your center when Steph's your point guard?
Right.
And it makes you wonder what would happen. Let's say we got DeAndre or whomever, if we had a really nimble alley-oop, like running a dude who could do what he does on defense, but actually, you know, moves around. By no means am I saying that DeAndre has a shot. But at the end of the day, you know, to answer your question, I'm torn. I like that we have a good center that people are scared to go try and dunk on. That hasn't been a reality with us for quite some time.
Yep.
But I also, my whole thing is this. Steph is the best player. I think will go down as the best player that ever wore a Warriors uniform.
Yep.
And so if I'm them, I'm making every decision on, does this make a Steph team better?
Yeah.
And I don't know yet if Bogut does, especially, you know, and this is now, hopefully I'm wrong, but you have to ask yourself the question, what does a Bogut team look like in 2.5 years? How big of an albatross of a contract is that then?
And how much can he still move? Is he in a wheelchair? I mean, what the hell can he do?
Yeah.
And I will say in his favor, what I like about Bogut even more so than I like about DeAndre Jordan is what he brings to the table mentally speaking. I mean, this team needed a complete makeover as far as defensive intensity. And I believe that Mark Jackson did make a difference, but I also believe that what Bogut is telling these guys in practices, what he's barking to them when they get back on the defensive side, means just as much to that mental adjustment. And I'm not sure someone like DeAndre would have brought that. So, you know, it's not just his aging physique that is either a benefit or a detriment to the team. It's also kind of the warrior mentality that he brings, no pun intended. Let me fire off one last quote for you, man. This one I kind of liked. So I guess the Splash Brothers had a Splash Brothers camp for the first time. It sounds like it's going to be an annual thing. And they got a chance to talk to both Clay and Steph about Clay's development while they were playing over the World Cup. Here's that quote.
Basically, you were second in scoring on the team, playing with a lot of all-stars. Is this big for your development going into the contract year and everything else?
I think it was just good, you know. Like I said before, I got to play for my country and play with 11 great guys. You know, I can take some, you know, from their game. And, you know, I feel like it just got better because I got to compete against these dudes every day from Vegas, you know, in shooting contests, every day in practice. You know, everybody goes hard. And like
he
I killed. Said.
He had a great summer. He killed. He definitely took his game to another level. You can say it. You did. You do well.
No,
respect, man. You did well.
No, I was just
playing well, man.
It was just fun. Traveling the world and hooping. It was crazy, yes, you know. Sir. Something you wouldn't have thought you'd be doing 10 years ago. Like, you think you'd be doing it, but it's actually happening. It's another feeling.
Steph, you consider the best shooting guard in the world? Two-way shooting guard?
Put him up against anybody, and I think he does what he does every single night. You saw what he did this summer, how well, you know, where he's taking his game these past 3 years. So, I mean, I put him up there. You do whatever kind of ranking skill or whatever, he's proven that it's not just talk, that, you know, that he's definitely impactful on both ends of the floor and knows how to play the game, and we're lucky to have him.
All right, I thought that interview showed a couple of things, man. One, that there are very few more boring interviews in all of sports than Klay Thompson. That guy's voice just has zero vocal inflection. And two, that Klay and Steph are starting to get pretty goddamn close, which I love. You know, I think that kind of teamwork and that kind of friendship can do nothing but to help. Let me ask you something that was thrown around at least ever since Paul George's injury. Did you like that they both played in the World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, that they got out unscathed, yes. Anytime anyone get run against good competition in an actually competitive environment in the off season, if they don't get burnt out, I'm all for it. And I think it's also a feather in our cap that, like, when's the last time two Warriors did anything international?
Yeah, exactly. And got all the kind of, you know, international exposure that that type of team and, you know, that type of situation will give them. This is going to be a huge deal either this year or next year. We're talking about giving Klay a max deal. Would you do that?
Here's the bottom line. I think we should have gotten Love.
Yep.
And when I found out that we could trade Barnes for a follow and a pick and didn't do those two moves when we could, I saw what they were doing, and I don't blame them for playing good poker. Who the hell knew LeBron was going to go back to Cleveland and request Love? I mean, you can't really compete with that and then
exactly
give up a
right.
first.
Yeah.
You know, the first pick in the most recent draft, and more. But, you know, I like what Klay brings to the table. I love his defense. He does not rebound well. He does not pass well. I think that's a huge component. And I feel like as far as his team, his players, the statistics that players create to make their team better, Love and versus Klay is not even a conversation, especially add in the Apollo, you know, insult to injury. It takes it to another level. That is not Klay's fault.
Yep.
So now that they've done those two, you know, if you're asking me, what do I do today?
Yeah, which is what we have to pick it up from. Right. So you're looking at the roster right now. You're Bob Myers. He comes into your office, asks for a max deal.
You have to, because you look at all the scrubs that are getting close to max.
Yeah, exactly.
So where I think Klay gets a lot of accolades and people really hype him up is he's a traditional shooting guard, and there are not many of them. So if you put someone in an actual, this is a true, you know, prototype of a shooting guard in the Kobe vein, there are not many of them. Yeah. So I think he definitely brings a lot to the table. Having someone who can guard the best defense, you know, the best offensive guy on the other team is a huge deal. I think there's definitely something to the fact that Steph wants to guard the best guy and that Jackson wouldn't let him. And Steph's so competitive and so ardently works on his game that I feel like Steph would get better as a defender if given the challenge, and I hope that Kerr will. But to answer your question, yeah, I don't think they have to give him, like, crazy max, but close to the max. Like, if he's getting 16, the one thing that makes it easy to stomach is the fact that the NBA just got a huge check or is about to, and the salary cap's going to skyrocket. So if we can sort of be grandfathered into what max money looks like now, versus what it's going to be when the salary cap's $15 million or whatever it is higher in 2 years, then it's much more easy to stomach. But the bottom line is they put all their eggs in one basket. They passed on Kevin Love for Klay. If they go from that to not retaining Klay, then they really hit the bed, and I think it's a non-option. So to answer your question, because of what's happened over the course of the last 6 months, I feel like they have no option but to pay Klay.
No, I completely agree. And for the exact rationale that you're saying, they've made this bed, you got to lay in it. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Two last questions, neither of which spawned by quotes. First, help Scott and I settle an argument. And since you're from the East Bay, Oakland specifically, I'm hoping you're going to side with me. It seems that it is basically already decided. But when the Warriors do, in fact, move over to San Francisco, they're going to change their name and become the San Francisco Warriors, no longer be Golden State. As an Oakland resident, does that piss you off, man, or is this a good idea?
Yeah, they have a team name, and you keep the name. So if they wanted to go back to being called the City and go to their roots and go nostalgia, I'd be down with that, and also all the gear that comes from that epic.
Yeah.
So that or Golden State, but it's like you're already – here's the bottom line. That's going to be a really dope place to see a basketball game. The Coliseum sucks. It's going to be cool. I'm all for it as a fan, and it's like, what, 6 miles from the Coliseum?
Yeah.
Mission's not far from the Coliseum as is.
Sure.
But I just think, you know, they have always been the Golden State Warriors. I feel like they should remain the Golden State Warriors. That's what they are. and everyone's going to know they play in San Francisco, so there's no added value just throwing on that name.
But they were the San Francisco Warriors from, you know, in the 60s into the 70s, so they have been called that before. It's actually going back to their roots.
And I'm viewing it like if I was married to somebody forever, she wouldn't take my last name, and then the second she gets remarried, she takes the other person's last name. I'm taking it so emotionally hard, I just can't stand it.
Yep, I'm great analogy on the marriage, and I think for Golden State.
God, I'm with it. You can tell that Scott's real pro San Francisco Warriors. At least he stopped smiling, which is good for both of us. Here's my last question, man, and feel free to ignore it if necessary. But it's one, have you ever had a chance to hang out with any of the players? And if you have, you know, do you have anything you can tell us, anything that's not too dirty or won't get you in any trouble?
Yeah, I've been through random, like I told you, I'm just like the random one Warriors fan anyone knows in L.A., so I get sort of in these situations very strangely. There's been a number of random instances. One of my good friends, David Spencer from New York, used to work with and is best friends with David Lee. So I see a good amount of him. And then just through random stuff too, like my buddy's a photographer, like a hipster photographer that shoots Terry Richardson style photos.
Yeah.
And some smart person in the Warriors said, let's do something different for the team photo this year. Let's hire this guy. And he's telling his buddy, he's like, some Warrior something hired me, and they're like, well, what is it? He's like, I think it's a sports team. And they're like, you got to call McGinnis. And so he hits me up and he's like, do you know something about the Warriors? And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I'm shooting their team photo next week, and it's my job to shoot like candid shots and make them laugh so that they look, you know, like atypical from a standard like sports yearbook photo. He's like, do you want to come? You know, you want to make money, but you could just come with me and like kind of entertain them. And I was like, are you serious? Yes. So I went up, and I'd met a bunch of the guys before, and so I'm there, and it was my job to get them to laugh before their team photo, and I actually got to photo. If you look on my Twitter feed, my name's McGinns, McGuinns.
It's you behind Steph Curry. I've stalked you. Yeah. I was just thinking, that's
the real photo. I photobombed his team photo, and that's like a legit, that's people think it's Photoshop, like that happened. So, yeah, I kicked it with him. It was my birthday. And I was at a restaurant that I represent with my marketing company having my birthday dinner. And I'm sitting there, I'm with like 25 friends, and I'm having a conversation. And my buddy looks up at me. He's like, dude, are you going to notice what's going on behind me? He's like, I've been waiting to see the look on your face all night, but you never noticed. I'm like, what are you talking about? I look over, and it's Steph, Richard Jefferson, Bazemore, and a couple other guys all having like an intimate dinner at this place like 10 feet away from me. And I literally... my jaw like actually hit the table. And so they come over, and my buddy knew Richard Jefferson and had set up ahead of time. He's like, oh, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, it's my buddy Kent's birthday for Bazemore. And he's like, actually, dude, the biggest Warriors fan in LA, not meaning Simon Rex. It's his birthday. That's why I'm here. He's about to show up. Can you guys come say what's up? So I'm sitting there, and they come over, and it's like, hey, good to meet you. You know, we're doing a little disservice, high five. And they're super nice. And you know, Steph, he's so cool and not Hollywood at all. But I started telling a long story that like started out like, so I'm 9 years old. My parents go to an auction, and you just like see him like, oh, what have I gotten into? and I tell him the Marcellona story, and I close with, and check out this picture of me when you won game 6 against Denver. And I show him, and he, at this point, he's like kind of, he went from like, oh dear God, what have I gotten into? Cause they were like, just trying to say what's up and peace out.
Yeah.
He sees it and freaks out. And he takes my phone and runs over to his wife and shows her the picture. And then she comes over, and then they're kicking it all night. They want to go bowling later.
Oh.
They're sending shots. I send them shots. I get Bazemore to Bazemore with me and then film it. And, like, all this. Like, who else in LA is going to run in to that group and be like, Kent f***ing Bazemore, what's up, dog? And start doing the Bazemore celebration with the fingers up. So, yeah, when I see him, it's cool. And I have nothing to report on the gossip end of any current players.
Yeah.
But the one, if you want gossip, I'll give it to you on someone that's already on the hate list from earlier and no longer even on the team, maybe even in the league. I don't know if he's going to be a kickboxer or what his deal is, but...
I sent some Beedren housing coming. Yeah.
I was at a Halloween party, I think, like 4 years ago, and we had just gotten Lee... And I'm all fired up, and I'm just waiting for the season to start. It's Halloween. First game's in, like, 2 days. I'm, like, all hyped up. And I'm at this, you know, L.A. Super Hollywood after-party thing in Bel Air. And I'm like, and my boy's like, yo, look who it is. And all of my mutual friends with Lee tell him the same story and reintroduce me to him like every time, you know, now I know him. But at the time it was like, this is the biggest Warriors fan. And it was the first time I really kicked it with Lee. And I'm just stoked. I'm like kicking it with Lee and Biedrins, and Biedrins is faded, right? And the dude just starts chain smoking.
Wait, like noticeably though? Like you look over, he doesn't have to say anything. You know immediately this guy's hammered?
No, I think he's the dude that you're like, wait, did that guy just drink two entire bottles?
All right.
And he's still somewhat cogent. But the thing that really weirded me out was the cigarettes. The dude is chain smoking. And I'm sitting here like, and this is before he fell off the cliff. And so I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, the dude kind of beasted last year.
Yeah.
I guess maybe this is how he rolls.
He's like a double-double machine, sure.
Yeah, he's like, dude, get me 11 and 11 for 11, and we're good to go. Like, afterwards, every time he started to step more and more, I'm like, that motherfucker, that chain-smoking f***ing didn't even wear a costume on Halloween, motherfucker, is just chain-smoking. And it really weirded me out, but I was just giving him the benefit of the doubt because his numbers were good at that point, and sure. Then he just fell off the cliff.
It sounds like we should pseudo-blame you for this guy's collapse. You should have walked up and smacked a cigarette out of his mouth.
I was mad-dogging him because of it. but yeah, the dude, from what I hear, that dude can really... really hold his liquor, though. I think that nickname Goose has, you know, the history of that is Grey Goose related.
I mean, if you do in fact look exactly like Drago from Rocky IV, you probably have to get your drinking game right, so that makes perfect sense.
100%.
Mike, thank you so much, man. This was huge fun. I'm sure you got better things to do than sit around and answer our questions, so we really appreciate it, man.
Anytime. I appreciate you having me on, and if you want to talk more specifics, When things are going good or not good in the season, I'm happy to jump back on.
Oh, be careful, man. We'll take you up on that. Thanks again.
I'm in. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. We absolutely love doing this podcast. Can't tell you how much we appreciate you guys listening. That's certainly true this week. And I just want you to remember a few things. One, looking for us on Twitter, we can be found at Warriors Huddle. Our email address remains warriorshuddle@gmail.com. We can be found up on iTunes and other podcasting services where if you wouldn't mind dropping us a review, we'd really appreciate it to help us out. And perhaps most importantly, we mentioned it last time. I want to make sure we do it this time. We've got a video version of this podcast that is up on YouTube. If you just search under Warriors Huddle, it's not shots of Scotty and I talking. Instead, our video guys, Sumit and Jeff, are doing a phenomenal job. And what they do is if we talk about a player, if we talk about a play, if we talk about anything, you'll see video of whatever the hell it is we're talking about. So make sure to get out there and check it out. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Good.